I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Operating Engineers, Local 139. Also, our friends, Madison Teamsters, Local 695, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and also Madison Firefighters, Local 311. Joining us now, Peter Rickman, from the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sly, thanks for having me. It's great to be back here again with you.
Well, let me play a little bit of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. This is a floor statement he made earlier this year regarding individuals and their $600 a week of help during this pandemic.
Less than a month later, Speaker Pelosi and her House Democrats passed a fifth package out of the House worth $3 trillion. $3 trillion. Now, I'm sorry, that's not a serious attempt at financial relief. If added to the $2.9 trillion, that would represent 27.5% of last year's economy. Again, employment's down 10.5%. Our economy will probably shrink probably no more than 8%. And yet, Speaker Pelosi and House Democrats wanted to increase the amount of debt burden on our children by passing a package that would bring total relief packages up to 27.5% of our GDP. It's not serious. And so it should surprise no one when Leader McConnell and Chief of Staff Meadows, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, as they tried to forge a deal with Speaker of the House Pelosi and Minority Leader Schumer, that they couldn't reach a deal. That there was probably no goalpost that they won't move to make sure that doesn't happen. But the problem with that approach, and I would call it a very cynical political approach, really playing with people's lives and livelihood, is that tomorrow, the federal unemployment extension that we passed as part of the CARES Act, because we realized we wanted to try and help everybody who is unemployed because of the COVID recession, it expires. Now, as I said, the CARES Act was far from perfect. One of the provisions that I certainly did not want, I voted against, I actually supported the senator from Florida's amendment to reduce this 600 flat payment, that's a real problem because it represents something like 134% of average wages, and we are creating a very perverse incentive for people to remain unemployed when our economy is calling for more workers.
So, your reaction to that?
That was a lot of words.
Sorry.
That was a lot of barely literate words for someone to say, working class people can get bent. Screw you.
Yeah, his sentence structure is, well, I don't know. I don't know what they were teaching him in Mankato, Minnesota, but.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot to unpack there, Sly, about what Ron Johnson said. First of all, let's not bury the lead here. Your listeners got to know and got to tell your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. Ron Johnson doesn't want you to have the support that you need during this pandemic. Ron Johnson is the principal opponent of renewing the supplemental unemployment benefits that have been a lifeline for working class people. And frankly, the bottom line to our economy since this pandemic hit and ruined our economy. So I think that it's really critical that everybody understand that.
I want you to say that again. I'm writing down what this podcast is going to be called. Ron Johnson doesn't want you.
No, I think I said it already.
I just want you to repeat it.
I would say it really clearly here, what I think the title of this ought to be, Sly. Ron Johnson to working class Wisconsin. Get bent.
All right.
Well, isn't that what he said, Sly?
That's essentially what he
says. That he doesn't want a deal to come together for a new coronavirus relief package. Ron Johnson says $600 a week is too generous. And then what Ron Johnson did is, as the kids say, he said the quiet part loud. He said that $600 a week supplemental unemployment benefits is 100-some-odd percentage of average wages. Well, yeah, Ron Johnson, working-class people have been getting screwed for four decades. Wages have been stagnant. You just made the best argument ever for us to ensure that working people get paid more for the work that they perform, building what was once the largest and richest economy in the history of the world.
Does he support raising the minimum wage?
Ron Johnson did not, Sly. I think you knew the answer to that question. It sounds to me like that was a little bit of a lead-in for me to go on a rant about how Ron Johnson is one of those Senate Republicans who has refused to call a vote on the Raise the Wage Act that would increase the minimum wage in the United States on a path to $15 per hour and index it to inflation so that it doesn't lose its historical value, even though if minimum wage had kept pace with the growth of productivity, that's what working people create in terms of the wealth of this economy, it'd be over $22 an hour. No, Ron Johnson doesn't support working people getting paid what we're worth. No, Ron Johnson does not support making work pay again. This guy has stood in the way of anything that could do well by working people in Wisconsin and across the country. He's an absolute travesty, and it's a crime against our political history that he occupies a seat that Russ Feingold once held.
And Gaylord Nelson.
And Gaylord Nelson, for that matter. See, you're a little older than me, Sly. You can draw those conclusions.
That's right. Gaylord lost before you were born. So let's although he continued to serve the public in his retirement. So it's pretty amazing when you think about a guy who was a class ring salesman at Mankato State in Minnesota. He fell in love with the richest girl in the class. And something tells me that Ron Johnson knew that he wasn't going to have to work the rest of his life, because he married a rich girl from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, who's made him fabulously wealthy.
Part of the Curler family, I mean.
Yes, correct.
By the way, I once worked in a plastics plant that was part of the Bemis Corporation. Little known fact about me here, Sly. I worked a midnight to noon shift at the Banner Packaging plant.
Midnight to noon shift. Ugh. Oh my God, does that sound horrible?
You know, and when I learned about Ron Johnson, it just made me angrier about him cosplaying as some sort of successful businessman. I mean, that guy's never had to actually punch in and punch out of, you know, a tough, grind you down sort of job where every day that you go to work, every shift that you put in is making somebody else rich and, you know, killing you all the while and paying you less than what you're worth. Like, he doesn't know what that's like. So I think it's pretty understandable that Ron Johnson says, you know, we can't have these disincentives for people going back to work, because, you know, he doesn't know what it means to be incentivized to go back to work. You know, it's a pretty damn good incentive to work. Being able to keep a roof over your head, being able to put food on the table for your family, being able to take care of the health of your loved ones. And that's what $600 a week in supplemental unemployment benefits means. You know, it's not as if people are saying, well, dumbest at home on the couch. I mean, this is the golden age of television. We got Netflix. We got Disney Plus. I want to catch up on my shows here. That's not what people are saying. The truth is, Sly, there's more than three unemployed people who've been looking for work for every job opening that exists. And at various times over the past few months, that's been as high as seven. So it's not like people are able to just get a job and go back to work. We've got a crisis of unemployment and underemployment. And on top of that, we have a crisis of marginal employment. We've had low-wage work in this economy at its foundation for so long.
Well, this should have been an early indicator, because we were weeks into this pandemic, a couple weeks, when the food bank lines started to pile up all over the country. And that should have been the first indicator right there that people were living on a knife's edge.
Well, you know, the truth is here, Sly, the pandemic shut down the economy, but Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, Ron Johnson, their failures of governance, their misleadership is what kept our economy in a depression-like state. And their inaction, and at times act of obstruction of the kinds of measures that we need to take care of working people is just, it's morally repugnant. You know, I don't know how Ron Johnson can look the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of working people in Wisconsin who've lost work at some point in time, many of whom are still out of work, and say, you know what, you don't need to be able to make that rent or mortgage payment. I don't really care if you can keep the lights on. And you know what, whether you put food on the table doesn't matter to me. Because that's what they're saying.
Well, you know, even
Ron Johnson dresses all this up in a lot of words. But that's what the essence of it is. Like.
Even with small businesses, he's essentially told them to go to hell. I remember when this all started, he's like, no, we shouldn't be operating. The government shouldn't be operating a program helping small businesses. They should be relying on their insurance. Well, if he had taken 20 seconds to call former state representative Dana Walks in Eau Claire, who represents all sorts of small businesses with his law firm, insurance companies have been screwing small businesses and trying to find ways not to honor the insurance policies they've been paying for all these years, saying the pandemic is not a reason for them to collect on business damages. So small businesses have gotten screwed as well.
Well, I mean, the irony of all this, Sly, here is that the federal government didn't actually create a program to support small business, notwithstanding Ron Johnson's objections. You know, the big corporate subsidies, the PPP and the loan programs, it disproportionately went right into the coffers of giant corporations and the well-connected. And, you know, you can't get much better at diagnosing what our economy needs than what Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, and I'm paraphrasing here. But he said the best customer of American industry is the well-paid worker. Well, if, you know, a third of people are unemployed or underemployed, and another third of the economy is people making, you know, low wages, you're going to have problems with small business folks. The only ones who are going to be able to do all right are the over-financialized corporations that were able to draw on all that sweet, sweet federal subsidy cash.
Something tells me that Dick Uihlein isn't going to agree with you on that.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, he and I like to get together for scotch and cigars and talk about modern economic theories. You know, we hash it out like civilized adults, and we enjoy ourselves.
Did you see he and his wife got into trouble? They snuck into Canada and weren't supposed to be. They weren't supposed to be there for some sort of business meeting where they refused to wear masks.
Oh, I thought they were international fugitives for their crimes against working class people and humanity. It's funny to me that here you've got some of these billionaires, you know, crawling across the border to sneak into Canada. Can we get some of their health care?
How is it that we ended up with so many monsters in Wisconsin like this?
Well, we've had this very, I think, conflicted history here, Sly, and a lot of it, interestingly to me at least, it stems from our economic history. This is a state that, you know, there were some large industrial production concerns that grew up here, and so that produced billionaires like the Uihlein or the Bradleys, but at the same time produced a strong and unified working class. So we've always had this interesting thing where there's right-wing reactionaries that have come up in Wisconsin, built off those fortunes made and exploiting working people and producing some of the things that fed and ran the world. And, you know, the working class that operated those plants and industrial production facilities, the paper mills, the foundries, steel plants, etc., we're interested in advancing a politics of less populism as well, too. So that's why we are a state that can both produce a Gaylord Nelson and a Joe McCarthy, a Russ Feingold and a Ron Johnson. It's part of our conflicted character. And here is, as we get into election season, Sly, winning Wisconsin has always been about who wins the economic argument, who's got an argument about what our economy should be based on and how we're going to make it work. And those right wingers sometimes have seized the day and put forward that Dick Uihlein and Ron Johnson kind of appeal. They've just done it more forcefully and done it more convincingly. And then there's times when folks of the left of the Democrats put forward a real economic program and they win the state. And Tammy Baldwin's a really good example of someone who can go around all of Wisconsin, talk about, you know, what's happened with the loss of manufacturing jobs because of corporate greed and how the billionaire class and the bosses, Wall Street and 1% have rigged the system and what she's going to do about it. And, you know, an open lesbian from Madison did pretty dang good, even north of Highway 29, because she had an economic argument. So our state's had a conflicted political history because of who, you know, has built up our economy, built up our communities as well. And politicians can make what they will of it on the basis of what their economic argument is.
Yeah, I'll never forget the very year you were born, the year Russ Feingold was elected to the state Senate, Terry Kohler decided to run on the platform for the rich, by the rich, and he got slaughtered.
wait, he literally said that?
Well, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but as more or less, yes. And then he didn't understand why he got crushed, even in the, I think he even lost Sheboygan that year. All right, stand by. Peter Rickman with us at SlysOffice.com.
Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson. We love guitars.
The attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. If you want a personal attorney that can help you in so many different areas, they've got them. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. They're easy to reach. GTWLawyers.com. That's GTWLawyers.com.
We're back with Peter Rickman, the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers. Peter, I want to talk on SliceOffice.com. I want to talk to you a little bit about the demonstrations you've been having in front of the federal courthouse on Wisconsin Avenue, the home of Ron Johnson's federal office. I'll play just a little clip here from Wisconsin Public Radio.
The $600 supplement ended in late July, meaning out-of-work Wisconsinites have gone about a month and a half with only state-level benefits. In Milwaukee Thursday, a group of about 40 protesters with the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers Organization said it's time for Congress to act. Nicole Gallman works in engineering and IT and has been out of a job since March.
Instead of our representative protecting us, making sure that we're taken care of, we're left to survive on our own.
In Washington Thursday, Senate Democrats blocked a Republican coronavirus relief bill that would have boosted unemployment benefits by $300 a week. In a statement, Johnson criticized Democrats for the move. Rachel Vasquez, Wisconsin Public Radio.
All right, your thoughts on that?
Again, a lot to unpack there. Let me say this at the outset, Sly. Our union of folks employed in the service sector has, you know, something on the order of 95 to 99% unemployment right now. And when the pandemic hit and everyone lost their work, we moved to become essentially an unemployment counseling service for our members and help get people through the process and navigate the bureaucracy and work with the employers to ensure that no one lost the benefits that were due to them. And then we started advocating around unemployment benefits. And when the CARES Act boosted that set of benefits to $600 a week supplemental, you know, folks were feeling pretty decent. But as the summer wore on, and it looked like that might go away, you know, we looked around and said, I don't think anybody's organizing the unemployed and the underemployed. So we better get into gear here because our members need this. So we started engaging with our membership and mobilizing. And while I appreciate Rachel's reporting, there was far more than 40 workers outside of Ron Johnson's office. And
I think that was from last week's.
That
was from last week.
Even in the rain, we had dozens of people coming on out to call on Ron Johnson to support our demand of save the 600. You heard from someone there, Nicole, who's actually not one of our members, because as we started talking to folks about, you know, organizing and mobilizing as underemployed and underemployed folks, and we recognized that no one else was doing this, we started reaching out more broadly than that. And putting people in motion too, because we've got to have this fight for unemployed and underemployed and marginally employed folks all as one. You know, I've heard the critique of from some folks who are working in low-wage jobs, $10, $12 an hour. Well, why the heck are these folks on unemployment getting $600 a week additional benefits? I don't make that much going to work. Why should we pay them to stay home? And the truth is, Sly, that's an argument for raising that person's wage from $10, $12 an hour to the sort of wage that they need, $20, $25 an hour. It's not an argument against those unemployment benefits. Unfortunately, we're going to have millions of people unemployed for the foreseeable future until we adopt a real jobs program to put people to work doing what needs doing to make our world better. And we can come back to that, what a real jobs program with living wages might look like and do. But we're going to have unemployment for the foreseeable future. So we need to take care of those folks and their families who are experiencing that unemployment and underemployment. You know, someone who's working 15 hours a week when they'd rather be full-time, someone who's only able to find a $13 an hour job instead of the old $25 an hour job they had. We've got to build that unity across working class people of the low-wage workers, the unemployed folks, the underemployed folks, to get the benefits they need, to get the living wages they need, and to hold accountable the politicians who keep standing in the way and holding this up, folks like Ron Johnson.
So do you stand with the Democrats holding firm on this?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's one of the things in Rachel Vasquez's reporting there that I found a little objectionable, because there was no context provided to this idea that Senate Republicans moved a package to restore 300 of the $600 unemployment benefits. You know, the great Malcolm X said, you know, don't stick a knife in my back 9 inches, pull it out six and call it progress. You know, don't take away the $600 a week supplemental benefits, restore 300, and say that that's good enough. You know, Mitch McConnell and Ron Johnson have literally never looked down the calendar and said, rent is due in 3 days, and I don't have enough to put food on the table. So I'm going to have to figure out which bills I'm going to pay. I'm going to have to figure out which prescription drugs to go without next month. I'm going to have to figure out what we do when the landlord says, you didn't pay on time and I'm evicting you. You know, those guys have never known one day of struggle of what working class people have to deal with. So for them to come back and say, oh, well, just settle for 300, you ungrateful slobs, is the height of disingenuousness. It's the height of ignorance. It's the height of moral repugnance. It's exactly why we cannot afford to keep these people in office one day longer, much less 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. So I stand firmly, and, you know, the truth is working people generally cannot relent on this. I stand firmly with the Democrats saying, no, we've got to get to restoring the 600. And, oh, by the way, just doing that isn't good enough. We need to also ensure that state and local governments avoid these brutal austerity cuts that are coming from a lack of tax revenue. We need a coronavirus relief package that fully funds state and local governments to provide these essential services.
Well, it was quite shocking earlier this year to hear Mitch McConnell essentially say, let communities declare bankruptcy so they can get out of pension obligations. You're talking about firefighters, police officers, first responders, workers that are crucial to getting people their services right now, public safety in a variety of medical. That's pretty shocking.
It's not shocking at all for anyone who's looked at what these Republicans have stood for decades. You know what we said the title of this thing should be? Ron Johnson workers get bent. That's exactly what Mitch McConnell and Ron Johnson and Donald Trump have been saying for years. And for anyone out there who's listening who thinks, oh, well, you know, I don't know about that phony Joe Biden. I don't know about him. This Donald Trump, he speaks his mind. And, you know, he's a real straight shooter. That's a bunch of baloney. Because these Republicans who've been in charge, right now what they're saying is, oh, yeah, those cops and firefighters, those public servants, those folks who put in their time and served our communities, yeah, we'll cut their retirement out from them. Who gives a rat's ass what they do? They can eat dog food and cat food. You know, they'll figure it out. So they're saying to those working class people, get bent. But, you know, what they're also saying is those small businesses in those communities where those retirees live, you know what, we're going to take away 20% of their income because, you know, there's going to be some working people who literally cannot make ends meet every month. They're saying, oh, we'll tank the economy even further by removing something like 30% of the spending by forcing these austerity cuts on state and local governments, maybe more than that.
That appears to be the Herbert Hoover model.
Yeah, the failed Herbert Hoover model that brought on a Great Depression. By the way, we've suffered an economic loss that is on par with the Great Depression. And, you know, the Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump, Ron Johnson approach here is, let's triple down on Hooverism. Let's screw working people. The rich folks are doing just fine. The wealth of the Jeff Bezoses of the world, the wealth of the billionaire class and the bosses, the wealth of Wall Street and the 1% has increased tremendously during this period of time. So they're doing exactly what they've always done here, Sly. They're screwing working people six ways to Sunday, as long as they're taking care of those rich, I'm sorry, I'm on a recorded, I was going to use a little bit stronger language, these rich guys, as long as they're taking care of them, you know, the Mitch McConnells, the Ron Johnsons, the Donald Trumps of the world, they don't really care.
And Donald Trump made that clear in the conversation with Bob Woodward about the economy intertwined with the pandemic, saying, well, Wall Street came back. Wall Street, of course, is not the economy. And there's a reason Wall Street's come back. The federal government has actually helped Wall Street.
Well, I mean, they've basically retooled the entirety of the Treasury and the Federal Reserve around just backstopping the over-financialized economy. You know, when folks who have capital are looking around and they say, where am I going to park this? They're not investing in the real economy. They're not looking to invest it in things like, you know, for example, a plant that could pipes to replace the lead pipes that are all across my city and that have poisoned families. And that's true of Rust Belt communities all around the Great Lakes. We could have plants that produce these things, put our people to work here, and meet social needs. But investors aren't looking at that as a way to generate profits because the margin isn't good enough because there's not an industrial policy in this country making that so. We do have a financial policy in this country that is shoveled cash and other kinds of incentives in the way the regulatory structure is built to Wall Street so that you can make money on paper. And that's a much better way for investors to get richer and richer and richer. So we've got these perverse incentives that have been created over the years to over-financialize our economy and make it unstable, help rich people get richer, and do nothing to put working-class people to work.
All right, as we speak, it looks like when it comes to the financial package that Donald Trump might be beginning to cave on this.
Oh, I don't believe that for a second, Sly. I don't trust a single one of these Republicans in office. That doesn't mean that all Democrats are good. It just means that, you know, Republicans have spent 40 years uniformly sticking it to working people. So, you know, they may, you know, talk nicely on camera from time to time or say, oh, well, you know, we want to rein in these excesses of Wall Street, the drug companies, the health insurance companies. But the reality is that's just a distraction from what they ultimately end up doing or failing to do,
you know,
when it comes to the business of governing.
Are any of the people that you represent now homeless?
There are people who are on the verge of losing housing. There are people who have lost what was stable housing and, for example, have moved in with family or consolidated households. I mean, that's the sort of thing that working people are too used to doing in an economy that has failed to deliver for us for four decades. You know, getting creative about how to stave off absolute disaster. And for a set of people who are 95 to 99% unemployed or underemployed with no change on the horizon because of people like Ron Johnson and Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump, folks get real creative in figuring out what to do. But they're losing hope and they're losing patience. So folks need to be prepared to bring this fight to Ron Johnson and name him as the enemy. That is what Ron Johnson is. He is the enemy of working people in Wisconsin who has failed to do anything for the unemployed and the underemployed. So we're working to help people get the basic needs met, connecting them to services and mutual aid networks, and then mobilizing them around this political struggle. And we're going to keep at it until Ron Johnson relents or, you know, something else moves to change the political dynamics in Washington, D.C. around taking care of working class people, unemployed, underemployed, and marginally employed.
Well, when I see tent cities going up in Madison, in parks, I think to myself, when we have natural disasters, partly caused by global warming, we have emergency shelters where the Red Cross comes in and we help people. Why are we taking this serious? No one should be on the street right now because of a pandemic they had no responsibility for.
Well, that's true during the pandemic. It's true for any moment before that. You know, the reality here is that working people don't make the decisions in this economy and in this government. Every crisis, large and small, falls squarely at the feet of the billionaires and the boss class, Wall Street and the 1%, and the politicians they rent to do their bidding, or some of the politicians who are just true believers and go do it willingly, the Ron Johnsons and the Paul Ryans of the world, these right-wing, free-market, fundamentalist, economic royalist types. So I think there's a few pretty simple things that folks in office could be doing in terms of erecting policies that would take care of the needs of working class people and build a functional democratic society. One, save the 600. Put money in the pockets of working people, whether they're employed, unemployed, or underemployed. Let's just make sure that everyone can keep a roof over their head, put food on the table for their family, take care of the health of their loved ones. Shouldn't be too complicated to say, let's make a decent income, health care and housing, a basic right. It starts with saving the 600. But let's go on from there and let's guarantee health care by right and remove it from this tie to employment. When millions of people have lost their jobs, that means millions of people and their kids have lost health care coverage. So let's take the next step of enacting an emergency Medicare for All program for everybody who's unemployed or underemployed or anyone who's lost coverage and use that as a way to move towards Medicare for All. Let's make health care a human right. Let's make a living wage a guaranteed social right as well, too. We can increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour right now, so those folks who are working aren't looking at someone who is unemployed through no fault of their own and saying, why are they, you know, getting the income they need when I'm, you know, slaving away here at my crappy job and I can't take care of my bills? Let's raise the minimum wage to $15 on the way to $25. Make work pay again. And, you know, the unfortunate truth here, Sly, is that we're not just dealing with a crisis of this pandemic. We're dealing with this crisis of climate change, too. And we could put millions and millions of people to work addressing climate change by transitioning to a clean energy economy. We could put millions of people to work taking care of public health needs, whether it's contact tracers and testers, to having a COVID core of security officers and building cleaners out there, ensuring that we're minimizing transmission by, you know, upholding masking and physical distancing.
I did. By the way, I didn't see you on television at that rally for the president in Mosinee yesterday.
I had to miss that one. I couldn't get myself up there. I really missed that. I saw the pictures, though. I don't understand why, you know, Donald Trump doesn't mobilize the full scope of the federal government and its resources and frankly, the national mood on things like using the Defense Production Act to produce PPE for our frontline healthcare workers and other essential workers, or, you know, mobilizing through the Defense Production Act to ensure that every hospital around the country has the appropriate respiratory therapy technology needed to save lives. You know, there are things that government can and should do. And right now, our government should be taking care of public health needs to combat this coronavirus pandemic. Our government should be mobilizing to transition to a clean energy economy. Just imagine, Sly, if these millions of people who are unemployed right now, half of whose jobs, by the way, are never coming back, They're not going back to work in the job they had before March 12th. Just imagine if those millions of people were told, you can go to work in a living wage union job that has health care and a pension, transitioning our economy into one based upon clean energy, so that this planet can continue to exist with humanity on it for generations. Do you think those folks would want to sit at home and collect $600 a week in unemployment benefits? Or do you think they'd want to go and serve the greater good, the common good, the public interest, and have a decent livelihood through their work? I'm pretty sure, Sly, I'm pretty sure that we could put millions of people to work within the next 6 weeks in living wage union jobs with health care and a pension towards transitioning to a clean energy economy if the political will was there. This is not a problem of a lack of solutions. It is a lack of power for the working class and a lack of political will on behalf of politicians like Ron Johnson, Donald Trump, and Mitch McConnell. We can do this. We can get through this pandemic. We can get our economy working from the bottom up for working class people. Once again, we can confront climate change. We can do anything here in this country with the power of the working class, but we need to have the politics aligned to make it happen.
Peter Rickman, Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers. Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
Thank you for having me, Sly.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.